Somebody called me with a shayla this week that interested me, so I think it's trying to share a little bit of the background of the shayla. So the shayla itself is not an interesting one, but it touches on some important issues that come up in business with brachas in general, so they spend a little bit of time learning through the sugya. The question that was presented was, somebody realized last Shabbos that they only had one nechala to recite HaMotzi on, and it wasn't practical to go out of this. I couldn't understand exactly why they couldn't go next door to get one on. They were trying to explain to me why not. The bottom line is they only had one nechala to HaMotzi on. But they realized that they had a cake, or they had cookies, or some crackers or something in the house. So they wanted to know, can they take the cake as a second challah? Cake, second challah. Cake is on challah. Cake is on bread. Cake is mezonos. How do you look at that term as a second challah? So the child developed a little bit the sugya in terms of his brachas. What is the correct bracha to make on cookies and cakes and crackers and things of that nature? And that's going to impact the Ruchas Lechem Mishnah. So let's start the sugya with the first of the Mamakomos, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. It teaches us the initial obligation of Lechem Mishnah. It says in Shabbos, Yuzayin, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, the Shabbos Chayv Adam Litzah Shtei Kigros, the Chsid Lechem Mishnah. The person is obligated to recite the bracha to the Suda Shabbos on two pieces of bread, two loaves of bread, two rolls, in order to fulfill the pasuk of the Chumash Lecha Mishnah. Now, the truth is that even though the Gemara is quoting it pasuk, it's highly unlikely that this is a real din in HaTorah. There is a machlekes of Rishon, and what are the obligation of Suda Shabbos in the first place of the din in HaTorah? The Gemara says that you have to eat three meals in Shabbos, as Moshe instructed Klal Yisrael and Pashas B'Shalach, Hayom, 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 Hayom three times. That alludes to the three meals of Shabbos. Some Rishonim take that Gemara to mean a real bona fide din in HaTorah. There's a chiv of Gimel Sudas in Shabbos. And others say, no, it's all in the Dirabbanan. The Apostle is just hinting a little bit to see Gimel Sudas. It's not a real bona fide din in HaTorah. But presumably everyone would agree that the obligation of having Lechem Mishnah, that's not a real din there. That's a mitzvah of the Dirabbanan that was instituted as a zechet to the nace of the month. Well, obviously it's an obligation. One has to try to fulfill this obligation. So the question becomes, can a piece of cake, can a cookie suffice for these purposes? So the answer to that question is well, what is the correct bracha to be made on cookies and cakes, crackers, things of that nature? That's the Gemara in the second of the Mamakomos. It's the Gemara in Maseches Brachot, and days of an hour. Rav Yehuda, the Osikle Lebrei Bei Rav Yehuda Bechaviva. Rav Yehuda was marrying off his son to the household, to the daughter of Rav Yehuda Bechaviva. Aisul Kabayu Pasa Bobi Kistin. In the middle of this, not sure whether this was the Chosin Tish or the Ofra, actually, that was going on, but some Pasa Bobi Kistin was brought in front of them. Now, I don't want to get defined precisely what Pasa Bobi Kistin is. We'll just really, really quickly call it something like cookies and cakes, something which is not quite regular bread. It's baked like bread, but it's something different than bread. Again, we'll find through this as we go along. So this pasuk of the kistin was brought in front of Rav Yehuda. So kiyasa shaminu bekamavachi hamotzi. So we heard that the people were sitting around and eating this food at the table. Were reciting hamotzi on it. It was very startled. Amaluhu maitzitzi dekashemana. What is the tzitzi? What is like the chirping? What is this sound that I'm hearing? We're playing the word hamotzi. So what am I hearing exactly? I'm hearing people make a mitzvah. Duma hamitzi lechem in aretz kamivachito. He said to the people who assembled for the chasana, do I hear you make a mitzvah on cake? Can't be. So Amalei, they said to him, yeah, that's what we do here. We make a mitzvah on cake. This time, we learned it in Braisa. Rabbi Muna Oma Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Possible to kiss the mevachin alei hamitzvah. Oma Shmuel Alach ki Rabbi Muna. There's a Braisa that Rabbi Muna quotes the name of Rabbi Yehuda. This is the person in this story was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was an Amor who lived in Babel. Rabbi Yehuda was a title, lived in Israel. A couple hundred years difference. So comes the Gemara and says, we have a right to support this idea that these quasi kinds of foods, these non-real bread foods, these cake cookie kinds of foods, are equated in halacha to regular bread, and the bracha is hamotzi. And we have a right that says that, and we have a statement of Shmuel, who happened to have been the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda, who says explicitly, halacha Rabbi Muna. So Rabbi Yehuda said to them, they have a little bit of an incorrect version as to what Shmuel said. Amalu, ain halacha k'Rabbi Muna itma. You got one word missing. One word that you missed is ain. As they say, there are two gersos of the Aseret HaDibros. Is the correct version? Lo tirtzach, lo sinach. Then the others who have tirtzach, tinach. That's a little, small difference. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and corrected the people who were assembled at this meal. And said to them, no, the correct Pesach Halacha is against the Minyan, against Rabbi Yehuda, the Shmuel Paskin, that you do not recite Hamotzi on these things. Amri Lei. So the people were not satisfied. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, said, "Amaru the Amish made the Shmuel, but you yourself, Rabbi Yehuda, you said in the name of your Rabbi Shmuel, Lachmanios ma'ayim behen, mevarachin lein hamaitzi. Lachmanios is some other kinds of, apparently some types of the possible of the kisnin, and you yourself said that they're equated to bread. You could use them for the purposes of Erevin. Erevin requires that it has to be mamish bread, and you were sat a motzi on it, so what's going on?" So we're getting contradictory messages. What is the correct bracha on these kinds of foods? So the Tanoim, some Tanoim said you make a motzi on cookies and cakes. Others are saying we don't pass it away. You yourself are viewed as contradicting yourself. What's the answer? So my answer, the final answer, is very, very simple. Shiny awesome, the kava sudase alayu. Well, hecha the low kava sudase alayu. That possible of a kistin is not quite like regular bread. On the other hand, it's not entirely not like bread either. It depends how much you eat. If you're kaveh su'udah, if you have a certain amount that's considered to be an established meal, you made your meal out of these cookies, cakes, possibly the kistin kinds of food, then it's elevated to the status of bread, and then the correct bracha is hamotzi. Whereas if you're just eating it, not the Torah's kaveh su'udah, then the bracha goes down, then the bracha is only going to be in the zonos. And that's why there seems to be a little bit of a discrepancy as to what the correct bracha is. So when all the dust settles, if we want to ask ourselves, are cookies, cakes, are that considered to be bread in halacha? The answer is it depends. Depends on how much you're eating. If you eat regular bread, if you have a small amount, you have to make a motzi. So if you're eating possible kistin, if you're kibes uda, then the bracha is a motzi, then it's true like bread, and if not, not. So the chora, sure, absolutely, yeah. If we don't, then we're going to miss the whole point. Yeah, so we're going to try to get there. So if we would just take the Gemara face value and try to plug it in initially into our Shaila, so the question is, can I use possibly the kistin as Lecha Mishnah? So Lecha Mishnah requires Lecha, it's got to be bread. And it just depends how much I'm planning on eating. If I'm planning on eating a very, very small amount of it, then it probably wouldn't suffice as Lecha Mishnah. If I'm planning on eating a lot of it, so in turn I would recite an oath and bench, wash and bench on it, so then it's equated, it's elevated to regular bread. It's regular bread. It should be able to suffice for the obligation of Lecha Mishnah. So before we can plug that piece of information correctly, we have two things we have to determine, two very, very important terms we have to determine. We have to define them. So one is, what exactly is possible? Just that we fairly defined it. We've been thrown around the term cookies and cakes for a little while, but we really haven't defined it properly halachically. And number two, we haven't defined what is kibbutz suda means. So we know exactly what possible kistin are, and we know exactly what kibbutz suda means. If you put those two things together, then we can begin to answer our shayla, whether the cookie or the cake in question is the equivalent of bread or not, can it serve as lecha mishnah? So when it comes to defining possible kistin, the Shulchan Aruch, the third of the sources, quotes three different opinions what possible kistin are. So possible kistin, yesh b'farshim, there are those who say, Pasha also kamin kisim shemamalam osam devash osukav yagoz mushkeidim etavim. There are those who say that the word pasim of kisim is a Russian kiss, like a pocket. Namely, unlike regular bread, which is just a piece of bread, it is a pasim of kisim is, it's a bread, namely it's made out of flour, it's made out of water, it's baked in an oven, and it all has all the regular characteristics of bread, but it has a pocket to it, and you fill up the pocket with something. What do you fill it up with? Either honey or sugar or nuts or other kinds of spices, and it has a filling to it, and that is what makes it into the unique category of possible kisnin, which again has certain characteristics of bread and not. If you have a lot, then it takes on the quality of the bread. If you have a small amount, and we haven't yet defined small amounts yet, then it's just considered to be a regular mezonos. So that's the first definition of possible kisnin, and then the Shulchan Aruch gives you some words which I wouldn't even know what they are. Namely, crime. Rishkos, rilach, vilachoshish, whatever those things are, they describe some kinds of pakari, kind of a dough. For our purposes, we'll just make it easy, and we'll call it cherry pie. It means it's a dough, it's a flour, it's a water, but there's a filling to it, we'll call it a cherry pie. That's the first example of possible kistin. V'yesh omim, that the Shulchan Aruch calls the second opinion. She isa, she iriba devash, o shemen, o cholav, o mini tablin, v'afol. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there's no focus anymore, no emphasis anymore on filling. It's just a dough, but the dough itself has other things in it, things that usually are absent in bread. For example, it has honey mixed into the dough, it has oils mixed into the dough, it has milk mixed into the dough, there's other kind of spices mixed into the dough, and then it's baked in an oven. So it looks like it should be bread, but because it has all these other things that are usually not present in a regular bread dough, that is what labels it as possible. It keeps in, again, with all the resulting halachas, the ilah hamotzi, a little bit mezonis. But the Shulchan says, who she a tam tarovet hamepeiros or a tavlin nikar b'nisa, that the only time this is true, that these spices, these things that are added in, will change the category, namely removing the status of regular bread and putting it to the lower level of possibly kisdin. That's only if you can taste these things. You put up a drop of sugar into your tremendous dough, that's not going to change anything. You put up some mash with honey into a big dough, that's not going to change anything. But if it's nika, the yisri, you can taste it, so that's considered to be possible. The yesh omen, and the Rama adds on to this, she said nika paskomer. Elim came yesh b'em har be'tavim with vash, k'mini mesika, she koin lekech, she kemat with vash v'tavim and ika, the chen yogim. So the Rama follows the second view of the Shulchan Aruch, that what's important is, are the other things mixed into the dough? But whereas the Shulchan Aruch puts it at the barometer of if there's enough in there to change the taste, that's enough to call it possible b'kisdin. Rambam says no, that's not enough. There has to be so much in there that the dvash, the tavla, the namhita, this is the entire taste of that. So what would that mean practically for us? Let's say you have a challah. And you put some other kind of spices into the challah. You put some cinnamon into the challah. You put some honey into the challah. Other things into the challah. And you can discern. You can taste it a little bit. So the Shulchan Aruch would argue, once you could taste it, that's not bread anymore. That's possible to kiss it. Again, depending on your suda, as we mentioned before. According to the Ramon, if it's fundamentally challah, it just has a little bit of taste of something else to it, that wouldn't change the bracha. But if you bake yourself a honey cake, honey cake, that's possible to kiss in. That's lekach. That's what the Rambam is describing. I was speaking about a related topic to Mashul a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned honey cake. So I saw everybody under the age of like 35 looked at me like they didn't know what planet I was from. So then I said, I can't give you another example. I said, marble cake. So I got the same blank stare. So I told over the story. I said that the Mashul of Hashem told me that when his bar mitzvah, he was bar mitzvah back in the 1940s in Brownsville, Brooklyn. So he said the minute was that what they served for the bar mitzvah was the schnapps and sponge cake. That was the kiddush and shul, schnapps and sponge cake. So he said that his mother felt like, you know, there's something that wasn't enough. They had to up the ante a little bit. So she decided to go all out, and they had schnapps and marble cake. So that was like the trendsetter in the Brownsville 1940s. They went from sponge cake to marble cake. So, As the young men in my community were sitting and listening and trying to figure out what things happened to them, mitzvah, some not didn't match up because they couldn't even relate to what I was talking about. Anyway, getting back to that story. So the Shulchan Aruch has already quoted for us two different opinions as to what possible application is. The first view focused on a filling. The second view focused on something in the dough itself. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the third view. V'yesh b'farshim, shu pas, deim tuvelas, vein shem tuvelas. The word biscuits. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and the third opinion is that it doesn't refer to adding anything to the dough, and it doesn't refer to adding a packet into the mixture. What it means is that it's baked in a way, very, very thin, very, very crumbly kinds of foods, almost like we would call crackers. That's considered to be possible. So you have three different versions in the Rishon to what the word means. According to sheet number one, we're talking about cherry pie. According to sheet number two, we're talking about honey cake. And sheet number three, we're talking about crackers. So which one is right? Which one do we possibly like? Says the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha kidivrei kulam. The Shulchan Aruch says that all of the above are correct. All of the above, one need not recite a motzi, one need not wash the tzidayim, one need not bench until you ate a tremendous amount. So all of the above are true. How do we understand all the above are true? What does that mean? So there are two different versions of the Echronim, how to understand this Pesach Halacha. So one way to understand the Pesach Halacha is that's all a suffix. We have no idea what the answer is. Either Shita 1, Shita 2, Shita 3 is right. One Shita is right, the other two Shitas are not right. But this is all with the Rabbanim. This is all the Brachas. It's all Shas the Rabbanim anyway. So we'll make life easy for you. We'll say you don't have to bother washing. You don't have to bother benching. You can get away with the Shita Zaynus, the Shita Al-Michya, life easy, Suffrage Al-Banim Lekuba. And don't worry about it. The guy who's eating the cherry pie, we say, you could be makel. The guy who's eating the crackers, he could be makel. The guy's eating, everyone could be makel, because we're not sure who's right, but something to everybody in the suffix is right. That's one way of understanding the Shulchan Aruch. The other way of understanding the Shulchan Aruch appears in one of the Acharonim, the Sefer Mamre Mordechai, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, it says, no. But the answer to this question is that it's not that we don't know who's right. They are all right. How could three different opinions be right? The answer is that Tasma Bekistin that the Rishonim are describing are examples of a fundamental category. They're not absolute. It's not that cherry pie yes and honey cake no. It's not that crackers yes and cherry pie no. They're all three different ways of describing the same phenomenon. What is that phenomenon? These are all foods that you generally don't eat a meal with. These are not foods that you sit down and think of eating a regular meal. You don't sit down and have a meal with a cherry pie and gefilte fish. You don't sit down and have a meal with a piece of honey cake and a slice of meat on top of it. You don't sit down, crackers gets a little bit tougher. You don't sit down and have a meal. Crackers, kishmam came with snack crackers. I mean, they're more of a snacky kind of a food rather than a meal kind of food. Therefore, any kind of a food that's snack-oriented rather than meal-oriented, that is the definition of possibility system. So this is a big, big question, how to read this halacha. This has some very, very serious misconceptions. If you go down the route of the second group, the Bama Mordechai, that ultimately the definition of possibility system has nothing to do with these categories, but it has to do with one fundamental question. Is this a meal or is this a snack kind of a food? If it's a meal kind of a food, then even if you eat the small snout and you have to make a mochi on it, this would automatically knock out of the box any notion, any dream of what's called mazonos rolls. How can a mazonos roll be a mazonos? It's a contradiction in AOB. They serve you a mazonos roll on the plane. They serve it to you with the rest of the meal. And they say to you that you don't have to wash it. You don't have to wash it. It's pasdomer. So those would say, no, it's not really pasdomer because it has harbi tavlin. It's got a lot of other things in it. Can't you tell the difference? I'm not sure you can tell the difference. Can't you tell the difference? So can't you tell that this challah roll is not really challah roll, it's really mazonos roll? So I'm not even sure those facts are right. And even if the facts are right, it's still the psach is incorrect. Because according to these acharonim, that as long as it's a meal kind of a food, it doesn't matter what it looks like, what it smells like, what it tastes like. If it's a meal, if it's flour, water, baked in an oven, that is automatically considered to be bread no matter what. According to this understanding, then there's another food out there that also, by definition, is pasgomer, is not even in the ballpark of pasgomer b'kissin, and that's pizza. Pizza, everybody knows that pizza is primarily eaten as a meal. 50 years ago, they told Rav Moshe that pizza is eaten as a snack. So Rav Moshe said pizza is pasgomer b'kissin, but I don't know what the facts were 50 years ago. Like I said, the facts are not that way now. There's no question. You go to a pizza store at 6 o'clock at night and it's crowded. You go to a pizza store at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's empty. I always say that Hawaii is the only place that you can't test this, because Hawaii, there's no Yom Kippur, so you have no idea what people are eating. So the MTA is above a cheshbon in terms of determining normal eating habits. So the Polkim Ripe is not as that. The Pasha that Barmer is that pizza is Pas Gomer. It's not Pas above a kistin. If you believe that pizza is Pas above a kistin, then you would kill for one size, two size, six pieces, nine pieces, three size, 10 size. You make all kind of cheshbonis with kviyasus. But if you believe that pizza is Pas Gomer, so then, of course, you have to wash and bench on one slice, because that's like having a challah roll. So that's a small challah roll. We also have to wash and bench. So again, not everyone agrees with what I just said, but if you go down that route, a possible the kiss of being meals versus snacks, so then that would be one of them. Yeah, if a person wants to eat these mazonos, again, Mashiach is like, if you want to eat mazonos, so you have to take a mozi on it, no matter what. You have to wash with your sedai and make a bracha with both. The same thing. I mean, if you're treating it like bread, then you have to wash it. Again, I'm not saying everyone agrees with what I said, but it would appear that that's what the halacha should be. I remember when I was learning in Kambi Abnesa, and I had once at Uri's Pizza, a famous pizza store in Yerushalayim in Geula. And there's a big sign at Uri's Pizza store that you make the zone or something, because they make the dough with milk inside it, so they will pass it. Like those folks will say, that's called pasta over the kitchen. So I remember I went to get up, I bought a slice of pizza, and then I sat down and went to go wash, because to dinner I have to wash on it, unlike what it says in the big sign of the store. So I went to go wash. I couldn't even find the cup for the pizza in the entire store. So I scrounged around, found a plastic cup, and I washed the pizza down. So it was a little Rishama kid, maybe this big. He says to me, he points to the sign and says, you don't know how to read. The sign says, Mazon is on it. They say that there's a true story, a legend or something, that Ron Lichtenstein was once on a plane and he got up to wash the Mazon is on. The stewardess told him that he doesn't have to wash. So he said, it's okay, he's going to wash anyway. So she said to him, I guess Israel should ask his rabbi to make sure that to teach him properly how to make some. Okay, anyway, getting back to this story. So we have identified possible kistin, either according to the first version, that's one of these three kinds of food, or according to our version, the second version, the Ma'am Mordechai's version, that it's any of the above foods, or any kind of food for that matter, that's a snacky kind of a food rather than a meal kind of food. So according to what we're saying, according to no matter how you slice it, the cook of the cake in question would be possible to kiss it. So now going back to that story, the guy wants to take out a cake and he wants to use the honey cake. The cake he thought doesn't honey cake, any other kind of cake, he wants to use that as the second roll, so to speak, like a Mishnah. He wants to take out a cookie and that should be the second roll. We're talking about crap and that should be the second roll. So the question is, can you do that? It's not really bread. It's possible to kiss it. How could that suffice? If they're taking an apple as the Alecha Mishnah, how can that work? So the answer is, well, maybe it's going to be Kaveh Suda on this cookie or cake or crackers. And if that is the case, so then it would be elevated to bread. In the same way, even the possible kistin, even those who claim pizza is possible kistin, they would agree to eat a certain amount after washing bench. Even those who argue that the mezonos rolls are mezonos rolls, even they would agree if you're Kaveh Suda, you have to wash and bench. So if that's the case, so then maybe once he's going to be Kaveh Suda on the cookies and cake, that's enough to treat it like a motzi. And if it's a motzi for washing and benching, and a motzi, so then it's a motzi for lecha mishnah as well. But the question is, what is the kriya suda now? So we haven't defined yet kriya suda. Oh, that's exactly what he gets to. I'm not going to go. That's exactly what he gets to in a moment. So what exactly is this kriya suda that we're talking about? So if we take a look at the fourth of the Mamre Kamos, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Tzivav, possible to kiss in whatever you think it is, b'varach l'bayim it is. Afterwards, the bracha is alamichya. The malchul imenu shir sharachir megiim lekvo alav. Afkish hulo sovim imenu mivarech lava moti bechtem ozen. If you eat kedei kviya suda, that is some kind of an objective number kedei kviya suda. Even though you personally are not full, you're still got plenty of room left. But if other people would consider that to be kviya suda, so the mishnah assumes we follow what the minhag olam is. But the Shulchan Aruch didn't really give you a number exactly. Just how much is that? How much practically speaking is kriya suda? So you have three different opinions in the Gedolei Acharonim, a little bit from one extreme to another. So the whole group of Acharonim would say, we have to look and go fishing for other areas of halacha where the term suda appears. Whatever suda means in other areas of halacha, that's probably what it means here as well. Where do we find the term suda? We find the term suda in Eruvin. Is a very, very small amount, a couple of datesim, a couple of eggs worth of bread, very, very small insignificant amount. A couple of good piece slice of cake is going to get you to the point that Kaveh Suda very, very quickly. That's one version of Acharonim. Another opinion of the Acharonim is you have to look at a totally different area of Allah, that's Tuchas Chala. Tuchas Chala is supposed to be the dough, it's supposed to correspond to two meals of what they ate in the Midbar. So that comes out to 43 and a fifth eggs. So if you cut that in half, so it comes out 21 and 3/5 of eggs worth of, not of eggs, it's not any cholesterol, but 21 and 3/5 of worth of flour. That's a lot of cookies. That's a gazunt amount of cake. According to some Acharonim, until you eat that much, you don't have to worry about the washing and benching. And many posts can say the middle ground. The middle Acharonim will say no. It's not an absolute objective number of 3 or 4 eggs, and it's not an absolute objective number of 21 plus eggs. But rather, every time and place, every society, you have to determine, make a rough calculation. What's the normal amount people eat in the meal? A person sits down, eats a regular dinner, not eats a bread at regular. Lounger sits down, eats a meal. What is the normal amount the person eats at a meal? So the Moshe writes, in America, you can't have breakfast. We eat breakfast, and people run, and come in and go and eat breakfast. Lunch, people eat a job, they're in the run, people aren't eating the lunch. In Moshe's days, they were at least eating supper. It's not a dinner. People aren't even sitting down for dinner. But Moshe still lived in a world where everybody sat together at the table and sat around and ate dinner together, which doesn't exist in most houses. But Levisa, in America, the only meal that we can call a meal is Moshe's dinner. How much do people eat at dinner? We try to make the cheshbon. What did I eat tonight for dinner? A piece of fish for dinner, had some salads for dinner. There was some quinoa I found in the fridge for dinner. A couple of things here and there put together. I had some bowl of soup. So I put together a dinner. Wednesday night, so the end of the week, things are winding down. So the children's is already long gone from Shabbos. So Wednesday, Thursday, the tougher nights in most from homes for dinner wise. So if a person puts together practically what he eats for dinner, if he sits down and eats a lot of cookies, a lot of cakes, corresponding to that volume of food, That's called Kriya Suda. That's what Moshe Paskin Lava. But then the Mishnah Berurah comes in and says, well, wait, what if a person has not all that much cookies and cakes, but he has other foods also? So now this gets very, very tricky. He sits down, and he's not eating dinner now. It's 10 o'clock at night, he's sitting down, and he takes two or three cookies, and a kizaisa cookie. But he also starts to munch on other things. He finds some salad left over, he finds some fruit left over, he finds in the healthy person. He finds some other stuff left over, and all of a sudden, before you know it, the guy ate as much, if not more, than a normal person would eat for dinner. But he didn't eat that from cookies and cakes. He ate cookies and cakes, crackers, but he was mashlin the shia, so to speak, with everything else. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, in the fifth of the Rambam comes, Kos Vacharon. If a person just eats possible of a kistin, then you got to eat a lot of that in order to have to wash a mensch. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting from Magen Avraham, that the whole shear just went up in smoke. It's a totally different shear. What's the shear? The shear is not how much cookies and cakes you ate, not how much pasta and kisses you ate, but how much did you eat altogether? So the person has the following. There's a couple of crackers. He didn't eat anywhere near the shear of to make MLT. But besides the crackers, he had some tuna fish, he had some eggs, he had some herring, then he moved to the chowas, then he moved to the kugel. I just described an old fish in Kiddush. And now he's eating everything. Now he's got his sushi, and now he's got his wings, and now he's got his meatballs, and he's eating kiyara melech. He has three crackers. So we should do the same, Mr. Washington. You were just kaveh suda, impossible, because then that's a very, very easy way to reach over the top, impossible, because this, of course, causes a lot of havoc in the Kiddush. Because the person sits down in the Kiddush Shabbos morning, you want to eat some mezonos. You don't need a kizayis mezonos, and you need to have kiddush pochum suda. So you have to have a little bit of mezonos, but you still want to be able to eat a lot of food afterwards. So that becomes a problem, because if you can eat a lot of other food together with your little bit of mezonos, you may end up having to wash a bench, which is the last thing you want to do with kiddush. What options are available to you, unless you don't fast with the Shavuot? Not going to agree to the Shavuot. For those who want to follow the Mishnah Berurah, so have to look for other kinds of mezonos available. Not going to get them into the possible kistin problem. There are other kinds of things that are not pasta, which is, say, for example, pasta. So a person eats a lot of pasta. Pasta is not pasta in the kitchen. It's nothing. It's not pasta altogether. It's a totally different kind of a food. And therefore, if you eat pasta, in the olden days, you ate lakshin kugel. So if you had lakshin kugel, then you can eat kiyara melech. If you have cake and cookies, then you have to be careful. You can't eat too much because then you have to wash your bench. But if you have pasta, lakshin kugel, something that's b'chlal not pasta, so then, the sky's the limit, but then you can indulge a little bit more and you don't have to worry about washing a bench. So getting back to that story now, we want to create a Kriya Suda on this cookie in case, because we, Rachmanis on this guy, wants to use his cake as a second challah, so to speak. So we want to know, is that good enough? Is that cake going to suffice as a second challah or not? So at first we said, well, it depends how much you need of it. The guy's not going to eat the whole cake. He's not going to eat 21 dates of it. He's not going to eat 20 pieces of cake. He's going to eat maybe a little bit of cake at the end for dessert, but he's eating the rest of the meal together. So maybe all the other foods are mashed them together. So maybe we can salvage this piece of cake and say, this cake can serve as a lechem mishnah, because for this fellow with this meal, this is how lachli goes to be bread. Because even if he didn't have any challah, he'd have to wash and bench in this meal. And not so simple, because the Mishnah Berurah was quoting the Magen Avraham, is describing other foods joining forces and putting you over the top to wash and bench. There's a big machlokes to Gedolei HaPoskim between the Moshe and Shlomo Zalman, and what exactly the Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah said. The Moshe said that the Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah meant any and every kind of possible b'kistin that's eaten at the same sitting, the same meal with other kinds of foods, all the foods are mashlim to the shir, all the foods are edah. Says Moshe, a person sits down and has some salad, and he has some tuna fish, and he has some egg salad, and other things, and he has a cookie, he has to wash a bench. The Moshe said, if the mom is washing, if you had a kizayis for cookies, so that's mashed them together with the other food, and you have to wash and bench, according to a version. Shlomo Zalman said that's not true. Shlomo Zalman said that the only time with the Mishnah Berurah, Mother Brahm said it's true, is if you had the following. If you had a cracker, kizayis to crackers, and you had tuna fish, exiled such, what's the difference? Very big difference in the Shlomo Zalman. Crackers and tuna fish go hand in hand. They go together. You eat the tuna fish on the crackers. Whether you personally did or not, at least there's a shaykh, there's a connection to the two. My Indian chose what you cooked to do the fish. There's nothing to do with each other. That you happen to be eating it, you're munching it, the same kiddush, but there's no shaykh, there's no seer between the two. tuna fish is not eaten on top of your shmiya tuna fish on top of your chocolate chip cookie. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman said that even the Mishneburim of the Avram would never require hamotzi for that. So that machloikis that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman can impact on this fellow as well. This guy wants to grab out a cake out of the freezer and use that as his lecha mishnah because he's arguing to be a shtickle tayer that he's kavasud on it. He's going to have some of the cake for dessert. And he's quoting this magen Avram to me. I'm going to turn around and say, wait, not so simple. According to Moshe, you're right. According to Moshe, any and every possible kiss that under the sun, if it's eaten together with other food, it's mixed together, it's labeled as bread, and therefore it's called a piece of challah, and you can make a motzi on it, and you can bench on it, you can wash on it, and you can use it for lechem mishnah. But according to Shlomo Zalman, your cake, your birthday cake that you pulled out, what does the birthday cake have to do with your tuna fish? What does that have to do with your filter fish? What does that have to do with a piece of chicken? What does that have to do with cold cuts? You don't pick a piece of cold cuts and put it on top of a birthday cake. So what you would have to do, according to Shlomo Zalman, to elevate the possibility of the kiss to become bread, you would have to find a type of possibility of the kiss that would be mitzuruf to the other foods. So what would that be? Maybe a cracker. Well, according to us, that's a little too low. But maybe cracker. That would do the trick. Not cracker. That's a good enough. So crazy. You see a guy take your stack back and put 20% of the stack back and got him a sugar. That's old kiddushes. In the old days, so that'd be kiddushes to me. The cancer and crackers and the stack crackers and tuna fish. You know, people, if I say this to anybody under the age of 45, they wouldn't know what I'm talking about. So those are the old stuff. That's a kiddush. So if you do that, then we can begin to negotiate as we've shown them. Then we can talk about using the crackers. But if you want to use a birthday cake, that could do the trick. Because according to Moshe, even a birthday cake would do the trick. So it comes out that usually we're trying really hard to avoid something becoming bread. We're bending over backwards not to wash, not to make a mess, not to bench. We don't want to be bothered. So we're looking for coolant out of Hummus Bachelor. Now, this fellow, last Friday night, he was looking for Chumrus. He was looking, Rabbi, find me something that I can wash and bench on, because I want it to be bread in order that I can be Yaitse Alecha Mishnah. So the Gemara says that every cool is a Chumrus, Chumrus as a Kula, Kula as a Chumrus. In halacha, so you have to always be careful. If you pass in a shayla and a chumra, that chumra will sometimes result in a kula. And vice versa, the kula will sometimes result in a chumra. So for this particular person, the best that I can do for him is that, according to Moshe, you can take your birthday cake and use it as a lechem mishnah. According to Shlomo Zalman, you better find something a little better than birthday cake, but something perhaps really would suffice actually for lechem mishnah. We need to stay away from it.
Practically speaking, if somebody sits down without the intention of being possessed on the cake, want a little more and a little bit more.
Yeah.
At that point, that the shear is going to reach, then have to go wash.
Yeah, yeah. So it depends how much really ends up eating. So if he ate already 6 pieces, then he's going to have another 6 pieces, then he's got to wash. If he ate 6 pieces, then he just wants one more, so then he doesn't have to wash. He doesn't have to make a motzi, but the shulchan aruch calls, he has to bench. Because at the end of the day, he really did have, he had a 7 pieces, whatever the magic number. Okay.
The second part of the mission is a cracker?
Yes, that's also what you're messed about. Is there a shia? Is that something? I don't know. I was wondering, is there a din that the Chavish has to be a kizayis? I don't know. Right, has to be shalim. Right, when they have a proof. Right. So I guess, in theory, a whole cracker is a shalim. The birthday cake, if you have a whole cake, that's a shalim, right? If it's just a slice of cake, that's not. Right. I don't know. Okay. Stop it.
At some point, the OB changed his policy. It was 2 weeks ago, and they had a role. It was OB. So the role is his own. For many years, they would never do that. It was all.